Master, speak. Oh, speak to me. Lord, pray that you would open up your word now. Speak to me that I might speak to these people. Speak to us that we may speak to the people around us. Speak so that you would be glorified and Jesus exalted. Speak by your word and your spirit. We ask it in Jesus' good name. Amen. We're going to look over the next few weeks at Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And this evening, I'm just going to really look at that opening statement, the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. It is perhaps the most well-known, but undoubtedly the most well-known of the Psalms. Perhaps the most familiar part of all the scripture, embedded in our culture to a certain extent, and certainly precious to us as believers. It's a great comfort. The opening line tells us it is a psalm of David. Well, who is David? David who? Of course, you know it's David, well, later David the king. But David who starts out as an insignificant shepherd boy. The youngest lad in a big family. Ignored. Kind of marginalized. But a shepherd by trade. A lowly occupation. And as we see here, and as you see in so many of his psalms, that despite his lowly beginnings, a close and intimate walk with God. Now, this ought to be an encouragement. Before we go any further to see this, that our closeness to God does not depend on our position in society. It is possible to live a life of obscurity. It is possible to be forgotten, ignored by the men and women around you, sidelined by society, but known to God. And when you think of yourself, and you think of your life, and you think probably in lots of ways, well, it's not really that significant, is it? You don't have great status and great importance. Well, like David, we can know closeness to God, however humble we might be. So it's the shepherd who writes this. And the shepherd thinks about his daily work, about what it is to be a shepherd, as he pens this psalm. Now, when you think about sheep, you think about forest sheep. And they roam randomly all over the place. They're there all over the road in Bream. They're there as we went to Beechinghurst this afternoon, and they're kind of strolling around down by Cannock. Why do they roam like that? Why is it? Well, because around here there's plenty of food for them. There's plenty of water for them. There are no predators to harm them. There are no bandits to carry them off. The only thing that might befall them is the occasional car. Now, in fact, most of the sheep don't have a shepherd, do they? They have a badger, a sheep badger. The people in the forest who turn out their sheep, they have the commoner's rights and so on. Okay. That's how we think of sheep. But David isn't writing in that context, is he? David is writing in an arid, barren climate where the need to find pasture is difficult, where you need to walk many miles perhaps to find water suitable for the sheep, where he sleeps out with the flock in order to guard them from predators, lions, bears, whatever, where there are bandits, enemies who would take them. That is the context of our shepherd. And the shepherd thinks to himself of all his daily work, the walking with the sheep, the resting of the sheep, the feeding of the sheep, the leading them to good water, the way they face danger, the way they celebrate and then return home. And David says to himself, well, these are the things I do for my sheep. But who will do it for me? Who will shepherd me? And David's answer is this: the Lord is my shepherd. Everything I do for my sheep, he does for me. And so this is the phrase I want us to look at this evening. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. Notice it there written, printed in your Bible with the word Lord capitalized. And you'll be aware that when the word Lord is written like that in the Bible, it is to signify something in particular. This is the covenant name of God. The name by which he introduces himself to Moses there at the burning bush. I am. The great, the infinite, the unchanging, the eternal God. But the God who promises himself to a people. The God who makes a covenant with them. That is the God we're speaking about here. The unchangeable I am, the most high, the all powerful. He was a particular God for a particular people. The Lord is a shepherd. A menial, common, humble, lowly role. Now, David or you or I would not dare to call God this except that God has already revealed himself as being a shepherd. We wouldn't dare make that up for ourselves, but rather God says it about himself. And there are any number of places in the Bible I could go to show you that. Let me just give you a couple. The prophet Isaiah, speaking under the influence of God's Holy Spirit, says this, that God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. That's what God does. You see the strength there, that he can gather them up, but the tenderness that he would carry them close to his heart as he gently leads them. That's Isaiah 40. God is often compared to the shepherd of Israel. We see it back in Genesis when Jacob calls God the shepherd of Israel in chapter 48 and chapter 49 of Genesis as he blesses his sons and grandsons. God described as the shepherd of Israel. Psalm 80. Verse 1, don't bother turning to it, but it's there. Hear us, shepherd of Israel. That's how they cry to God. Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. The image of the shepherd is used in Exodus. They're wandering in the wilderness. And we are told that God led them. We're told that he provided for them. They wanted for nothing. Which reminds us a little bit of verse 1 here, doesn't it? I shall not be in want. I won't lack. Met every one of their needs, provided food for them, provided water for them, tended them and guarded them. That was the language that's used of a God during the Exodus. Exodus 15, 13, here's an example. In your unfailing love, you, that is God, will lead the people you've redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Psalm 77, verse 20 says, you led your people like a flock. By the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 78. He brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely so that they were unafraid. God, the shepherd of his people. The shepherd of his children, Israel. Through the Exodus, it was God who tended and cared for them. The Bible uses the same language as well, though, in speaking of the exile. Here's Ezekiel in chapter 34. It's a little bit of a longer reading. Perhaps I could read Ezekiel 34 and 11 to 15. Listen to what it says. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep. Look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations, gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in the good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing lands. There they will lie down in good grazing land. There they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Lord. Isn't that glorious? Wherever they've been scattered to, wherever they've wandered off to, says God, oh, I'll go to them. I'll find them. I'll bring them home. You see, the shepherd, he's not distant and separate. The shepherd is among the sheep. The shepherd is intimately involved with them. Not God as he is sometimes portrayed as kind of distant and off there and irrelevant, but rather a God intimately involved with his people. Tender in his care for them. Some of you have animals, don't you? You've kept sheep, you've worked with sheep. Cows, whatever it is. It is a messy, smelly business. That's the language that God uses of himself. This being among them, this closeness. Well, don't miss what that points us on to. The shepherd who doesn't stand aloof and distant, rather intimately involved with his people, comes into this messed up and stinking world. And Jesus, God's own son, the Messiah, born in human flesh at Bethlehem, the living embodiment of God as a shepherd. That's why Hebrew calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. That's why 1 Peter and chapter 2 says, you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer, shepherd and guardian of your souls. But what kind of shepherd is this shepherd? Oh, he's great. Yes, he is. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Never referenced to him in the New Testament. But he's the good shepherd. Surely when we hear of a shepherd, of God as our shepherd, the thing that rings in our mind is those words of Jesus we read earlier from John 10. Jesus himself describes himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. What kind of shepherd is he? He's a good shepherd. How good is he? How committed to the sheep? He's the one who lays down his life to rescue the flock. Now don't miss this. Where is Psalm 23 placed in the Bible? Well, it comes after Psalm 22 and before Psalm 24. What was Psalm 22? It's the cry of forsakenness of Christ on the cross. It was his agonies as he suffered for his sheep. Understand this. We come to 23. Only after he has been through 22. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Spurgeon in his commentary on this says, we must by experience know the value of the blood shedding and see the sword awakened against the shepherd before we will be able truly to know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. If you want to understand the sweetness of the shepherd's care, you have to see it by contrast to the suffering of the shepherd that we saw last week in Psalm 22. The Lord is a shepherd. But it's more than that. The Lord is my shepherd, writes David. Now, this is a distinctive thing about this psalm. This personal pronoun, my shepherd. Normally, in the Bible, the shepherd theme is interpreted in a communal way. The flock. The shepherd of Israel. I'll go out and I'll gather my flock from wherever they might be scattered among the nations. He brought them out and led them like a shepherd. But here, it's not their shepherd. It's my shepherd. He, sings David, is my shepherd. It is the most personal interpretation of the shepherd theme in the whole of the Bible. He is my shepherd. If God is David's shepherd, then David must be God's sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, says David. I am his sheep. Is he your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Are you his sheep? How would I know, you say? Well, we read earlier from John 10, didn't we? How would you know that you are one of his sheep? Jesus says this. He says it to the Jews there at in the temple. And he says to them, the works I do in my Father's name testify about me. This is John 10 and 26. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And he goes on to say, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You don't believe because you're not my sheep, Jesus says to them. Do you believe in what Jesus did? Do you believe in his virgin birth? Do you believe in his life of perfect obedience? Do you believe in his teaching and his miracles? Do you believe in his death on the cross as a sacrifice to deal with sin, your sin? Do you believe in his resurrection and his ascension? Do you believe in his pouring out of the Holy Spirit and his promised return? Do you believe in those things? And if you don't, it's very simple. Jesus says, you don't believe because you're not one of my sheep. Now, understand there is a gentleness and a tenderness to the shepherd. He knows there are days you have questions. He knows that what might seem like pat answers can roll off your tongue, that you believe and yet you struggle. He understands that you doubt. Remember the man who comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Let me see the tenderness of Jesus towards him. Oh, I'm not saying you won't have questions. I'm not saying you've got it all sewn up. But do you believe? If you don't believe, it's because you're not one of his sheep. But it is not merely belief in a theoretical way, in that you can draw up this long checklist of things you might believe about Jesus, and if you've ticked them all, then yes, wonderful. You're his sheep. No. Did you see what Jesus said? You don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. They listen to my voice. Do you listen to his voice? Will you obey him? Will you do what he says? Costly though it might be. Even though it puts you out of step, perhaps with your family, your workmates, your friends, the people around you, the world around you. Even though you may seem ridiculous. Even when it will bring you in opposition. Perhaps even to the law of the land. Will you listen to him? My sheep, says Jesus, know my voice. I know them and they follow me. But notice this. The sheep believe. The sheep listen and follow. I know them, says the shepherd. I know them. It is not about your knowledge of him. It's about his knowledge of you. If you have sheep, what makes them your sheep? Is it that they looked around at all the options available to them? And on that Wednesday in Abergavenny Market or whatever it was, all the farmers lined up and the sheep could look out and say, that one. We'll go home with that one. No, of course not. The sheep belong to the shepherd, not because the sheep know the shepherd, but because the shepherd knows the sheep. The shepherd has purchased the sheep. It makes sheep precious, doesn't it? If you've got sheep, well, you take care of them. They're precious to you. They cost you something. They've cost you time and effort and investment and If you had them as a lamb, then you remember that time when they were lambing and when you, the way you nurtured them and cared for them. If you bought them at market, then you remember the price you paid for them. You know them. They're precious to you. Surely the sheep of the Good Shepherd are precious to him because he purchased them. Purchased them with his own life. The Lord's my shepherd. We sing it at funerals, don't we? You hear it sung at funerals by people who at no other time have any thought for God. And there's no way in which they engage with him. There's no way they look to him and think to themselves, I am his sheep. And maybe they get a temporary lift. Maybe it's a bit of a boost to sing this fine old psalm. But they go out and they forget. There's no lasting comfort in it. Why? Because he isn't their shepherd. They don't believe him. They won't obey him. They've no longer sooner sung it than they've forgotten it. But you're his sheep, aren't you? You're his sheep. He's your shepherd. How would you feel if you saw a sheep wandering on its own? I don't mean run bream, because they're supposed to do that. But if you imagine now, in this setting, a sheep on its own, shepherdless, it's lost, it's wandered off, it's in danger. How do you know which sheep is which? How do you know whose sheep that is? The sheep belongs to a shepherd, doesn't it? It has a tag in its ear. Or a mark on its back. Its identity is bound up with its shepherd. Men and women without God are like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. They're in danger. They're starving. They have no identity. I don't know how you view the lost, view those who are without Jesus, without the shepherd. There ought to be a mixture of pity and love towards them. Tender care towards them. Not a smug superiority, I'm all right, Jack. Rather a love and a concern. They're lost. They don't have a shepherd. We know in this world that there are lots of people and they struggle with the whole issue of identity. Who am I? How can I feel valued? How can I feel secure? How can I feel loved and safe? What am I worth? How can I be true to myself? The Good Shepherd says to you, you're mine. That's who you are. That's what your identity is. And our problem is we don't want to define our identity in terms of something else. We want to just be our own person, we say. We're skeptical of authority. We don't want it imposed on us. And that's like trying to put up a set of shelves about a spirit level. Oh, you think it'll probably be all right. No, you've got no point of reference if we're just looking, if we just look into ourselves. Just looking, well, we've got nothing objective, nothing to compare it to. We are to find our identity by being joined to him. To see our worth, to see ourselves as precious because we are precious to him. To feel secure because he is the shepherd. John's gospel, Jesus talks about us as being like sheep given by the Father to him. A precious gift, purchased at great cost. That is what you are worth. That is where your identity is to lie. Lastly, if he is your shepherd, if he is this kind of shepherd, this caliber of shepherd, this great shepherd, chief shepherd, this good shepherd, if he's your shepherd, what are the consequences of that? Surely you can depend on this shepherd. He's good. He loves you. He is the God of highest heaven. He is able to find you the pasture that you need. He knows where the still waters are. He's able to guard you from danger. He's able to guide you and lead you to your eternal home. Why is it that you are so frightened? Well, Matt, I've got this thing going on. Yeah, trust the shepherd. Rest in the shepherd. He is bigger. He is able to see you through. Why is it that you're so worried? Oh, Matt, I'm just a worrier. That's just me. Well, the Bible says, don't worry. The Bible says that to worry is not to trust God. The shepherd has it. Let it go. Trust the shepherd. He'll feed you, he'll guide you, he'll guard you, he'll bring you safely home. Listen to his voice. The Lord's my shepherd, shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.